He wants more debates. He wants more accountability. He also wants to be Toronto's mayor. A chat with Gil Penalosa, who's deemed as the biggest challenger to John Tory to unseat him in the municipal election coming up in Toronto and across the province on October 24th. A chat with him about those debates and lack thereof. A chat about housing, a massive issue in this city that can't get solved in the next 4, 8, or 12 years. And we'll talk about transit also. Gil Penalosa on Toronto Today. Our next guest is running for mayor. He will, you know, put up the challenge on October 24th to try and unseat John Tory. I've watched a couple of his news conferences. I've watched him here. I've watched him there. And this is our first chance to get to talk to him. He is Gil Penalosa. Gil, it's great to have you on Toronto Today. Thanks very much for making the time.
Thank you, Greg. Nice to be here.
How has your campaign gone so far? What are the connecting points that you're finding when you go door to door or you go to a big event? Where are you connecting with the people of Toronto right now?
I think I'm connecting on the sense that people love our city, and so do I. But people feel, one, that the city is falling apart, and they think that the city now is good for someone else, but not for them. So I talk to the young people, and they say, oh, it's good for the boomers. I talk to the boomers, they say, oh, it's good for the young people. I talk to the people in the suburbs, they say it's good for the downtowners, and so on. So that's why my call is for a Toronto for everyone. So people are not feeling that the city is good for them.
Yeah, I think about Toronto. I'll let you know, I grew up 2 hours from here in London, then moved to the States, and I've been back in Toronto for about 15 years now. And I've seen it change to the point where we can't legislate equality, and we know Toronto is going to be the biggest city in Canada. So it'll be the most expensive city in Canada. It's New York, it's London and Paris. In comparison's sake. But when we look at development in those cities and we look at some of the things they've done to make it so they can have two New Yorks or three New Yorks or different boroughs, and not everybody in one demographic is priced right out of living in the city, that's something we're failing in right now, isn't it?
Exactly. I think that we have a huge housing crisis, housing, and it has not gotten better in the last 8 years. It has been a huge failure in affordable housing. And sometimes people think the only option is to do either gigantic towers like Manhattan or total sprawl like Houston. And those are the wrong decisions. I think that we need to have a city that is really good, and we really need to do housing immediately. That's why, for example, I'm inviting to what I call the renovation revolution, that people that have a house, if they want, they can split it into 2, 3, 4 units. So many people are empty nesters and they want to age in place, but the house is too big. Well, split it into 3 or 4 units and rent out the other ones. We're going to have a one-stop shop where people have all of the decisions solved, and that can be done very, very fast citywide. So the renters are going to have options citywide, but also we are going to densify all the whatever we have public transit, we're going to allow to have density with a mid-rise. That is what people like. We urgently need affordable housing citywide.
Gil Penalosa, our guest on Toronto Today. Now, the current mayor would point to the province and say some of these MZOs, some of the zoning orders, some of the red tape has made building housing in Toronto more difficult than it should be. Is that fair? Is some of this not just a municipal issue, but we need the province to relent and make this more possible to build more and build quicker?
No, I don't think there is absolutely any valid excuse for not having done this in the last 8 years. The mayor has gotten everything approved that he wanted in the last 8 years. We have not lacked powers. We have lacked vision and ideas. Like, for example, allowing houses to subdivide. We don't need the province or we don't need the federals to allow this. We could allow it. Actually, the province suggested it 6 months ago and John Tory opposed it. So that is something that the city can do immediately. Also, densifying the corridors where we have public transit. Again, we don't need the province. Of course, if we work with the province and especially the federals, both of them are having huge superavits. The province said that they have $2.5 billion and the federal's about over $10 billion. So, of course, we need to invite. But inviting is not about abdicating to the province and just letting the province do what they want to do. So I think that in the issue of housing, for example, Toronto created Housing Toronto. There is not one shovel on the ground after 8 years. No, it's not about the province. I think the city has not been able to do it, and we cannot continue blaming everybody. We need to own our own issues. Today, we're coming out talking about public transit. Last week, John Tory came out with a public transit where every single project that he said is being done by the province. No, we need the province to do projects. Great. But the city also has to do its share. So I don't think in the issue of affordable housing, the city can't blame anybody but itself.
One more on housing. And I think this is the most concerning part of the demographics, Gil, is when I look at the data, and I'm sure you've seen it as well, it means young families are moving out. It means people now they've always have that choice to go to the suburbs, have more space, have a bigger backyard, have a swimming pool. I get it. I get all that stuff if you're at that point in your life. But where we're struggling is, even after a period of time, they can't come back to the city. It's too expensive. Young professionals can't live in the city on their own. You've got parents worried about their kids choosing, wanting to go to U of T or TMU, and they're dissuading those kids and go to Guelph, go to McMaster. I get it. Rent's expensive in a lot of those places, too, but it's nothing like Toronto. We're going to lose who we are if young families can't live here.
Exactly. This is a huge economic problem. This is about economic development. Anybody that is good at anything, if you're good at making pizza or if you're a good engineer or a good doctor or a good student, you can live anywhere in the world. So where would you live? Wherever you have, find a city that is affordable, equitable, sustainable, where you have quality of life. And we see a lot of people living. Actually, the majority of people that are listening now, if they were going to buy their house where they live today, they could not afford it today. None of the councillors or the mayor with their current salaries, they would be able to live in Toronto with their current salaries, and they get good salaries. So this is a huge crisis. In the case of students, for example, again, we need to legalize the rooming houses so that we can legalize them and regulate them and multiply the rooming houses so that the students can have dignified options. I've read that many students from U of T are moving into shelters for homeless. So the shelters that we urgently need for homeless, some are being used by students, and that is totally wrong. We need to allow students and also people that come for temporary jobs to have dignified living.
Josh Matlow was on the show, Ward 12 counselor, and we were talking about, you know, the idea of an incumbent having just an easier time, an advantage. They still have to get out there and knock on doors. They still have to be present. But I asked Josh Matlow, who's been a veteran on city council for, 15, 16 years now, shouldn't there be more than one debate amongst mayoral candidates? Here's what he said.
Of course there should. It seems to me what John Tory is doing is that he just doesn't want to give a stage to his opponents like Gil Pendolosa and others. That being said, though, this shouldn't be up to John Tory. He's a candidate. Many members of the public are not fully informed about where all the candidates stand and exactly what they want to do. It actually shortchanges the very public that John Tory and all the other candidates hope to serve by not allowing them to be informed about, you know, where their mayoral candidates stand on the issues that are important to them. That's not fair. That's not right.
So there's a story from Daniel Dale. You'd remember he covered city politics in 2014, ran afoul of both Ford brothers at different times, but he put together a list of all the debates in a story in 2014. And I'm telling you, there's a mayoral debate like in September, almost every day, at least every other day. There's debates all the way from October 1st through October 22nd. Gil Pendolosa rejoins us right now. This is a big, if you're a fan of democracy, Gil, and I am, this is bad. This is bad news for democracy. It doesn't matter what the inevitable result will be or who deems who wins a debate. But talking is good. Debating is good. Understanding issues for the voters is good. And there's not very much of that this time around.
Exactly. I think that is terrible. No, it's not about me. It's about Toronto. It's about democracy. We have a mayor that has been there for 8 years. We need to evaluate. And the only way is through having debates or to having people like you inviting the candidates. Yeah. For example, I ask the listeners, can you even think of one significant project that Toronto has begun in the last 8 years? None. There is one, which is the Gardiner. That is a horrible project because each one of the listeners is paying $700. Each man, woman, and child in Toronto, $700. So that 2% of the people will save 3 minutes. It's a horrible waste of billions. But other than that terrible, can anybody think of any single one major park, one major public transit, one major anything? No, I think it, so we need to debate. We need democracy. John Tory and me were totally different in our approach, in our experience, in the way we would lead the city. I have a totally different vision. I have a Toronto for everyone. He seems to feel very much, someone told me the other day, and I think they're right, that he looks very much at ease in the boardrooms of Bay Streets, and that I seem very much at ease in the boardwalks in the parks.
Well, I love the line. That's a great, and I agree with you. I think that's the perception of most people probably listening right now, is that's accurate. Let me ask you this. Did you think about running for a council seat instead of running for mayor? You got a valuable voice, and we can use it.
No, because I think that a lot of these issues are citywide. For example, issues such as mobility. We need to interconnect the city, and one word at a time cannot be done. We are facing an urgency. Like after COVID and with huge climate change coming over, we need some citywide issues. I hope we elect some really, really, really good councillors, because it would be great to have a new mayor and also a lot of new councillors. And a lot of the recommendations that I'm proposing is not about money. For example, some people are morning people. Some people are night people. What if we created the workers' community time where everyone that is listening could start to work, would need to be at work between 11 and 3, everybody. But if you are a morning person, you could arrive at 7 and leave at 3. If you are a night person, you could arrive at 11 and leave at 7. Or if you are more traditional, you can continue working from 9 to 5. What it means that all of a sudden people are going to be happier and more productive because they're going to choose their time that they work. Also, people are going to be able to sleep well. The congestion, the car congestion, instead of everybody driving to arrive before 9 a.m., no, some people are arriving at 7 or at 8 or at 9 or at 10 or at 11. So we're going to spread all of that. So the cars are going to have a lot less congestion. The public transit is going to have a less congestion. And all I'm going to do is to lead at City Hall, but invite all of the private and not-for-profit organizations to do the same. And imagine in something that doesn't cost almost anything, we could become a leading city. And this has to do with climate change, with traffic congestion, with economic competitiveness, with everything.
So we haven't seen, let's talk about congestion. Let's talk about the TTC and the GO train. We haven't seen data yet after Labor Day for how many more people are riding, but it sounds like more are. And in the summer, the TTC was back to about 55-60% range. GO trains were different. They were packed on weekends for all the events we had, whether it was coming to a Blue Jays game or a Caribbean carnival, whatever, C&E, but we weren't seeing it as much Monday to Friday. What are you worried about sustaining costs of transit when we don't have full trains? We need to get more people doing this, and as you said, less people driving into the city.
Exactly. I think that it was a failure to allow the TTC to have gone down so much. We went from like 95 to 30%. Many cities around the world, Singapore and others, they went down from 95 to 70 and are back now at 95.
Yeah.
I wish that the mayor had taken public transit, because we needed two actions: to have people wearing masks and silence policy so that people would not be talking in public transit. But now we need to promote it. We need to facilitate. We need to encourage. And also we need to lead by example. And we should never, ever start cutting public transit. That would be horrible, because public transit is about economic development, but it's also about climate change. Today, I'm coming out with a plan that is called Fast Lane. We are going to do a network of bus rapid lanes that are going to interconnect the city, are going to link to the subway lines, to the LRT that the province is building, because the city is not, that the province is building. And we are going to have 62 kilometers of new bus lanes that are going to be fast, they're going to be efficient. All the buses are going to be electric, and we need to complement. People will not switch their car for public transit unless it's either cheaper or faster or more convenient or all of the above.
Gil, let's have another conversation next month and certainly give people enough time to hear more of your platforms and decide whether they're ready to vote for you or not. I enjoy getting you on today, and thanks for the time.
Thank you very much. And because also we need to talk about safe streets, which is a key issue of this element. So housing, safe streets, and better public services. Greg, thank you very much.
Yeah, we want a livable city. We want safe streets. All of that is and great and consistent transit. Gil Penalosa, our guest on Toronto Today. Look, I don't know how October 24th is going to go. But, you know, I think getting answers from the current mayor as to what are the solutions to very real problems and not debating. He was, by the way, offered to come on this show last week to talk about the vaccine ads. We invited him on to talk about the issues of why there's only one mayoral debate. His campaign said he's unavailable. So unavailable means unavailable for now. We're going to keep trying. We owe that to ourselves, to you, if you're listening and deciding to vote. And we owe it to his rivals as well, because they're coming on and they're answering questions from us. And I think the current mayor should do just the same. So hopefully we have him on a little bit more.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.